The president plans to propose lowering prescription drug costs for Medicare beneficiaries by allowing them to share in rebates that drug companies pay to insurers and middlemen. That's according to an administration official. Companies now pay rebates to insurers and pharmacy benefit managers to help their medications gain a bigger slice of the market. Insurers apply savings from rebates to keep premiums more manageable. Under this proposal, seniors covered by Medicare's Part D prescription benefit would be able to share in those same rebates for individual drugs that they buy at the pharmacy. Middle East governments that attempt warming ties with Israel face harsh backlash from anti-Israel radicals within their borders.
Saudi Arabia considers opening its airspace to Air India flights headed to Tel Aviv, shortening the flight by more than 2 hours. Reports of Saudi backlash against the government are surfacing, with civilians facing temporary detention for speaking against Saudi normalizing ties with Israel. Many Saudi nationals, however, support Israel and Saudi normalization and see it as a potential for economic growth and more freedoms, according to sources in the region. This is Jennifer Breeden.
Dozens of Russian athletes lose an 11th-hour bid to join the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang after the Court of Arbitration for Sport rejects their appeal. The athletes asking to overturn a decision by the International Olympics Committee to drop them over doping concerns. But rejection means they won't be joining the 150 competitors from Russia cleared to compete as Olympic athletes from Russia. And an asteroid's going to pass within 39,000 miles of the Earth this afternoon. NASA saying it's nothing to worry about. This is USA Radio News.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Without fanfare, the president signs a bill on Friday morning to fund the federal government for two more years and bring a shutdown to a close.
The president signing the bill that ended the brief shutdown after the U.S. House passed it just before dawn in Washington and a few hours after the Senate finally passed it, following Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul's maneuvers to try to hold up that vote because of his concerns about its impact on the federal deficit.
If you were against President Obama's deficits, and now you're for the Republican deficits. Isn't that the very definition of hypocrisy?
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Former White House Staff Secretary Rob Porter resigning this week after allegations of domestic abuse by two former wives, the president saying at the White House.
Well, we wish him well. He worked very hard. I found out about it recently, and I was surprised by it.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to GEICO. I feel like I'm on top of the world.
Disclaimer, you will not be transported to the top of the world. In the unlikely event you find yourself at the Arctic Circle, seek shelter from the elements immediately to avoid frostbite and or hypothermia. GEICO will not be responsible if you find yourself in a cave or crevasse with a lonely, abominable snowman, who in all likelihood will force you to play games including but not limited to Go Fish, Charades, Chinese Checkers, or his personal favorite, Red Rover, send Yeti on over. GEICO is not liable for any damages, either physical or emotional.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
There are reports that billionaire George Soros is pumping hundreds of thousands of dollars into a campaign looking to reverse British voters' 2016 decision to leave the European Union. The Daily Telegraph saying that Soros has given $560,000 to the anti-Brexit Best for Britain campaign. He also hosted big money donors at his London home, part of the group's goal to raise support to nix the implementation of the Brexit referendum. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky sets the stage for the upper chamber next week to begin consideration of legislation protecting the more than 800,000 recipients of DACA from deportation. His action setting up a Monday evening procedural vote and is consistent with an agreement made last month with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York that the upper chamber would consider DACA proposals during the month of February as long as the government remained open. The program expires March 5th. McConnell saying the Senate will vote on any proposal that garners 60 votes. And parts of the Midwest being pounded with snow, Chicago could see 14 inches. This is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
The president plans to propose lowering prescription drug costs for Medicare beneficiaries by allowing them to share in rebates that drug companies pay to insurers and middlemen. That's according to an administration official. Companies now pay rebates to insurers and pharmacy benefit managers to help their medications gain a bigger slice of the market. Insurers apply savings from rebates to keep premiums more manageable. Under this proposal, seniors covered by Medicare's Part D prescription benefit would be able to share in those same rebates for individual drugs that they buy at the pharmacy. Middle East governments that attempt warming ties with Israel face harsh backlash from anti-Israel radicals within their borders.
Saudi Arabia considers opening its airspace to Air India flights headed to Tel Aviv, shortening the flight by more than 2 hours. Reports of Saudi backlash against the government are surfacing, with civilians facing temporary detention for speaking against Saudi normalizing ties with Israel. Many Saudi nationals, however, support Israel and Saudi normalization and see it as a potential for economic growth and more freedoms, according to sources in the region. This is Jennifer Breeden.
Dozens of Russian athletes lose an 11th-hour bid to join the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang after the Court of Arbitration for Sport rejects their appeal. The athletes asking to overturn a decision by the International Olympics Committee to drop them over doping concerns. But rejection means they won't be joining the 150 competitors from Russia cleared to compete as Olympic athletes from Russia. And an asteroid's going to pass within 39,000 miles of the Earth this afternoon. NASA saying it's nothing to worry about. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutton Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Well, good afternoon, listeners. At least I hope there are a few of you out there. And today, let's see what is going to be predicted for our weekend weather. Hope everybody didn't slip and slide around this week, because some of us had some pretty bad weather, others it wasn't so bad. But in any event, today, February 9th, wow, we're really into winter, so that may be good because then we'll be out of winter. But tonight is cloudy, about 32 degrees, so it's going to be freezing. Tomorrow up to a high of about 46 degrees, so that means that first of all, we're going to start out, instead of snow, There's a slight chance of rain. Then there's rain likely later on in the day. But because of the temperature, it really shouldn't be snow or ice, because by tomorrow night, there's heavy rain, 100% predicted, but the low of only 42 degrees, so that will keep it rain rather than, rather than sleet or snow. And again, I'm going to take a break.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, excuse me, let's try that again. This is Pat Smits, and I'm trying to get through the weather. I'm starting to feel like the weather. As I said, by Saturday night, tomorrow night, there should be a 100% chance of heavy rain. And then into Sunday, again, heavy rain, and it'll stay rain. And luckily, during the day, it wouldn't turn into ice because the high is about 54 degrees. But then again, on Sunday night, rain is... And likely, it could be problematic in places because although the low is predicted at 38 degrees, as we know, that's inching down towards freezing. So some of the higher locations might be really problematic driving. And by Monday, partly sunny, again, high of 45 degrees. By Monday night, low of 27 degrees. Now, that means on Tuesday, there is a possible mix of winter mix, early because it'll be low from the night. temperature on Tuesday, of course, will start out lower and then go up to about 42 degrees, so that should be a chance of a wintry mix. So we'll be back in just a couple spots from our sponsors and talk about what's happening in the news.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back. Program It's the Law. Well, what's happening in the law? There are a number of things that are happening, of course. I talked a couple of weeks ago about the tax bill and how it affects employees versus independent contractors. Again, if you think you could possibly be an independent contractor, you know, just check that out. However, there are many people who try to be independent contractors, and that doesn't work. Remember, it is important to pay your Social Security. I am constantly amazed at how many people, especially women, although they've worked, have not paid into the Social Security system, and that means they're going to get very small payments when they're are retiring. So most people, unless you die very young, certainly get much more back from Social Security than they've ever paid in. So what's happening? Well, there's an appellate court this is the situation. A whistleblower who was awarded $1.2 million in a False Claims Act suit must pay state taxes on the entire amount of the award, even if the amount paid in legal fees and portions of the proceeds were shared with others. And that was the appellate court decided that just this week. But that's really, you know, I don't even know how to comment, but I guess it means that the state takes taxes however they can do it. Now, there was a Senate Budget and Appropriations Committee, of course we know that, voted in support of a bill that would increase the annual salaries of judges and other public officials last week, setting the stage to, reunite again the debate of judicial salary increases. Now, the proposal for annual salary increases for the governor, cabinet officers, members of the Board of Public Utilities, and judges, the New Jersey State Bar, of which I am a member, supports the increase of judicial salaries to compensate for pay decreases due to increased contributions to benefits and the lack of cost of living increases over the past several years. I don't recall the last time the judges received an increase, but it's been a while, and it's very unfair because unlike other people, they don't get annual raises. They have had to pay into the health for their health benefits, which was controversial. I know that people voted that. However, the Constitution provided that there should be no decrease in judicial pay, and actually that really was. As we all know, if our contribution for medical goes up, our net income goes down. But the judges, in order to keep good judges, we really have to raise their pay. And believe it or not, I know people say, oh, well, you know, judges, they're not that, don't have to work that hard, are overpaid. Frankly, I think many state, well, there are some state employees who perhaps are overpaid, although most of them are not overpaid. And in fact, they don't make the salary that they would make if they were in the private sector. And many people work for the state because of the benefits. But in any event, the judges, they certainly deserve a pay increase. So what else is happening as far as cases? Well, there actually was a appellate division case with respect to family law. And this was approved for publication. And as I said, there are not that many family law cases approved for publication. So in this case, the plaintiff in this case, Mr. Curran, appealed from a trial court's order denying his petition to modify or vacate an arbitration award in a divorce action. So what happened is after the plaintiff filed for divorce from the defendant, the parties entered into a consent order referring certain divorce issues to arbitration. Excuse me. The parties' agreement acknowledged that the trial court was required to enforce the arbitration award unless there were grounds under the Arbitration Act to set aside or modify the award. So people misunderstand arbitration. Actually, I am an arbitrator certified by the Academy of Matrimonial Attorneys after taking arbitration training. And there are probably not a number of us, but there certainly are attorneys here in Hunterdon County who have taken the arbitration training and are New Jersey arbitrators. What happens in arbitration is the parties decide what issues are going to be before the arbitrator. And it's more or less like a private judge. In other words, the parties themselves decide the agreement. They decide what issues are going to be brought before the arbitrator. And I should say the parties and their attorneys, because arbitration is something that, at least in my experience, I've never seen parties agree to arbitration unless they're represented by attorneys. And there are many reasons why people would select to go to arbitration. First of all, it's much faster than going through the system. It's generally cheaper as a result. They can design the specific issues they want the arbitrator to decide. They can, you know, it's confidential, so many times people of perhaps high net worth or people who do not want either the courts or anyone else to really learn about their assets or other issues. But in any event, the agreement in this case, in the current case, also included a handwritten provision preserving the party's right to appeal an arbitration award to the court. The arbitrator's retainer agreement also contained the party's acknowledgement that they would be bound by an award. After the arbitrator issued a final award, the plaintiff filed a motion to modify the award, asserting eight mistakes of law. The trial court denied the motion, finding no evidence to vacate the award under the grounds in the Arbitration Act, nor any provision of the Act authorizing a direct appeal from an arbitrator's decision to the court. Thus, the trial court held that the parties could not create subject matter jurisdiction by agreement. Now, that's interesting. On appeal, the plaintiff argued that the party's handwritten provision in their agreement was illegal and voided the entire arbitration agreement and proceedings. Now, the court noted that despite the Act's limited scope of judicial review of arbitration awards, parties could elect to expand that review by contract. So, in other words, the appellate division said yes, if in fact they expanded the Arbitration Act by their own contract, that was perfectly permissible. However, the court further agreed that the trial court, that the parties could not create subject matter jurisdiction not authorized by the legislature, and accordingly ruled that the only appellate recourse from an arbitration award was to the trial court. The court further ruled that the trial court properly served the parties' handwritten provision in enforcing the parties' intent to arbitrate their issues, so that the appellate court agreed that there were no grounds to vacate the award. And so that what it says basically is you have to be extremely careful as to the contract that you enter into when you go to mediation, and extremely careful to specify exactly what issues are going to be arbitrated. And so in these cases, attorneys need to know, and there can be more than one arbitration that you deal with. And so they have to really know and be very careful about just using terms like arbitration and arbitration act. There was another a tax court, and that was Kite versus the Division of Taxation, where in that case the plaintiff appealed from the tax court's grant of summary judgment to the defendant, and the defendant was the director of the Division of Taxation. And so that the plaintiff appealed from the tax court's grant of summary judgment to the Division of Taxation and upheld its assessment of additional taxes, penalties, and interest under the Gross Income Tax Act. So while performing financial consulting, plaintiff discovered what he believed was a pattern of fraudulent practices by certain hospitals in submitting false Medicare claims. Plaintiff then filed a quitam action under the False Claims Act, and the government elected to proceed with the action. So plaintiff learned that other private parties had filed other quitam actions involving claims against the same hospitals in plaintiff's action. Thereafter, plaintiff and the other relators, that's what the term is called, entered a joint prosecution and sharing arrangement, agreeing to share all the monies awarded for the realtors' shares. I should say relators' shares, not realtors, relators' shares. Plaintiff's action was later settled, and that's what I said, his action was later settled with several hospitals, and he received a share of the settlement exceeding $1.2 million. And his attorney distributed certain amounts to the other relators, as they agreed. And the IRS issued a 1099 showing the full share as plaintiff's income. However, plaintiff failed to report the recovery on his state income tax return. Accordingly, defendant issued a notice of tax deficiency, and plaintiff filed an action in tax court arguing that his recovery in the quantum action was not subject to state income tax, or alternatively, that he was entitled to deductions for his attorney fees and the amounts he paid to the other relators. The tax court ruled that the entire recovery was an award and therefore liable. Therefore, the plaintiff was liable for total tax because it was the $1.2 million was total taxable gross income, not just part of it, but all of it. On appeal, the court affirmed, ruling that an award, when it included a decision or damages, is in fact taxable. So the court further held the defendant could not exclude counsel fees or other awards, ruling that the full award was paid to the plaintiff and was taxable to him. So that's pretty significant and probably a surprise for most people that, in fact, in order to get a $1.2 million award, he had to pay a percentage of that, I'm assuming a percentage of that, to the lawyer and, in this case, to other people. But he is going to be taxed 100%. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's the ruling. Okay, we'll be back shortly after the news break. Well, I don't know if I'll play the news break, but let's hear from a couple of our sponsors, and then I may play the news break because, as you can hear, I don't have the voice today to talk.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Well, we wish him well. He worked very hard. I found out about it recently, and I was surprised by it.
The president speaking at the White House about former Staff Secretary Rob Porter after allegations of domestic abuse by two former ex-wives. Trump wishing Porter all the best as he leaves.
And we hope he has a wonderful career, and hopefully he will have a great career ahead of him.
Porter denying the abuse allegations. While you are sleeping, the federal government shuts down, then reopens as President Trump signs a $400 billion temporary spending bill passed by the House before dawn, ending the shortest government shutdown since the 70s. A snowstorm hammers the Midwest with the biggest storm of the season, dropping nearly a dozen inches of snow in some spots. By the time the weekend is out, Chicago could see up to 14 inches of snow, nearly half the country under some sort of winter advisory. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Okay, we're back. It's the law. And what else is happening in the law? Well, I guess we should pay our taxes. The U.S. government has sued an Upper Saddle River, New Jersey attorney in U.S. District Court to obtain judgments on more than $1.5 million in unpaid income and payroll taxes, and to foreclose on tax liens against his home. So pretty significant if you don't pay your taxes. And although everybody thinks, oh, it'll never happen, it obviously does happen. And this time, you know, certainly if someone is not paying their payroll taxes, you know, this is money taken out of our employees' wages. And obviously, there is strict requirements as far as paying those in and paying them on time. So what else is happening? That's pretty scary. And everybody doesn't think it ever happens, but, you know, even if you don't pay taxes, don't have enough money to pay the taxes, certainly at least file them. And you can usually work something out with the government. There will be penalties and there will be interest, but at least it's much better to file tax returns. I'm not sure in this case if the attorney filed tax returns, but it's amazing to me how often I find people who have not filed tax returns for a period of time, including sometimes years. Now, the Leonia town in New Jersey faces a suit over traffic measures that turns away outsiders. And an unorthodox attempt to reduce traffic in one of New Jersey's towns is facing a challenge in the court. I think that, but I'm not sure, I think that might be the case where they were not allowing anyone other than those that lived on certain roads to take certain roads through the town, because there was a kind of a mass because of the fact that people can get shortcuts, and apparently one of the side streets were just back-to-back traffic as a result of that. There was an immigration, family law immigration case that was, in fact, I'm trying to think of the day. It was just this week. It was approved for publication. And the case was appellate division, Ben Haim versus Edry, E-D-R-I. So in this case, the plaintiff appealed from a dismissal of his complaint against the defendants, who were Israeli rabbinical judges and officials of the rabbinical courts of Israel. And plaintiff complaint arose from a divorce and custody proceeding between him and his wife. They were married in Israel. The parties were married in Israel. They returned to New Jersey after their wedding. Then when the family traveled together to Israel in 2010, his wife filed for divorce in an Israeli rabbinical court and obtained an order prohibiting him from leaving Israel until the divorce was finalized. The rabbinical court later lifted that order and permitted him to return to New Jersey. He then filed an action in Israel Israeli secular family court, seeking the return of his daughter to New Jersey under the Hague Convention. As an aside, the Hague Convention has been signed by many countries around the world, and the purpose is to prevent international kidnappings, because even with the Hague Convention, it's very difficult. But before the Hague Convention, what often happened is someone would leave the country, go back to their home country with a child or children who had lived here for their entire lives, and then the left-behind parent was not able to see the child. So what happened then is the Israeli Supreme Court ultimately ruled the plaintiff's daughter was wrongly detained, but the plaintiff had consented to her remaining in Israel and permitted the plaintiff's wife to keep their daughter. So plaintiff filed an action in New Jersey family court, which ordered plaintiff's daughter's return. The rabbinical court later issued sanctions against the plaintiff for his refusal to consent to the divorce, which were being forwarded to the plaintiff's rabbi in New Jersey and published on websites. The plaintiff then filed the present action alleging defendants aided and abetted in the kidnapping of his daughter. Defendants asserted foreign sovereign immunity. See how complicated people think, oh, family law is easy. Not at all. So the defendants, the the rabbinical judges, the Israeli rabbinical judges, asserted foreign sovereign immunity for the defendants. The U.S. State Department opined that defendants were entitled to immunity because they were acting within the scope of their duties for the Israeli rabbinical courts. The trial court ruled that the State Department ruling was binding upon it and dismissed the plaintiff's state court action. On appeal, the appellate division affirmed, ruling that New Jersey courts were bound by the State Department's determination that foreign officials were entitled to sovereign immunity for acts taken within the scope of their official duties. So, bottom line, child is in Israel, and under Jewish law, he does not have to consent to his wife getting a divorce, and that is called a get. And when representing people of the Jewish faith, as part of an agreement, we always require the husband to allow the wife to get a get, because otherwise he can hold her up from getting remarried and getting on with her life. But this, of course, was questionable from, certainly under the Hague Convention, questionable that anything should have been tried in Israel, or that the Israeli court should have taken jurisdiction initially. But since initially they only took jurisdiction for a religious divorce, that is could well be an exception, because it would not be recognized as a civil divorce in the United States. He should have been able to proceed with his divorce in the United States, despite what his wife did. So, what else are we talking about as far as this week? Well, as we're expected, as we know, the chances, based on what I said, winning as a whistleblower suit against the U.S. government are expected to become slimmer, thanks to a recent Department of Justice memo highlighting the government's right to dismiss False Claims Act cases when it declines to participate. So that's a little different than the other whistleblower who had to pay all the taxes, obviously. Again, criminal law, a couple criminal laws cases approved for publication this week. And they were both, one was a Supreme Court decision, State versus Dickerson. The decision, the opinion was written by Justice Solomon, one of what we call the new justices. And in this case, the state appealed the decision of the appellate division because the appellate division had affirmed the trial court's ruling that the state was required to produce a search warrant affidavit in the defendant's pretrial detention hearing, but reversed the decision to release the defendant. So what happened is police received a search warrant to search a barbershop hair salon. So that's what, first happened. They had that warrant. And then the warrant, however, did not name any individuals as targets of the search, merely stating the police had probable cause to believe there was contraband within the shop. And upon executing the warrant, the police officers found four men inside, including the defendant. And the defendant was observed near drugs and guns, so he was subsequently arrested. The state moved to detain the defendant, informing the trial court that it was not in possession of the affidavit in support of the search warrant for the barbershop. The trial court ruled that the state was obligated to produce the trial affidavit. I'm sorry, the affidavit with respect to the search warrant. And as a result, as a sanction, actually, for them not producing it, released the defendant. Now, the appellate division ruled that the state was not required to produce the affidavit, but reversed the defendant's release. In other words, number one, they said he wasn't, the state was not required to produce the defendant, and then also said that the trial judge should not have released him and remanded for a new pretrial detention hearing. So on appeal, the court reversed the ruling, meaning the Supreme Court reversed the ruling that the state was required to produce an affidavit in support of the underlying search warrant. And the Supreme Court held that the production was only required if necessary for the state to carry the burden to show probable cause. If an affidavit was not probative of probable cause, or whether the defendant should be detained pretrial, the court ruled that there was no basis for the trial court to order its production. Finally, the court held that the defendant's release could not be a sanction for the state's discovery violation. In a dissenting opinion, so there were two opinions in this case, which is pretty unusual, but Justice Albin argued for requiring the state to produce an affidavit in support of a search warrant when contraband was seized. So that was, hopefully it's not of anything other than, you know, minimal interest to people, because nobody's going to get themselves in that situation. So let's bring you up to speed with a few more things from our sponsors. And I'm hoping we're going to have a super special program at 5 o'clock talking about the Philadelphia Eagles win at one of the it's an incredible Super Bowl game. I don't think that either John or Bill are going to be able to join me, but I think I'm going to have a very diehard, hopefully if I can work the phones, I'll have a very diehard Eagles fan who will be calling in on the phone. And he's been a guest before. In fact, for a while he was co-host of the program. So one of the most knowledgeable football people I know, and one who has been waiting for this for many, many years. So let's play a couple spots from our sponsors, and then I'll be back with final comments.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center.
Well, we'll have the news in a few minutes, but since we're not going to play the news right now, let's get back to what might be happening in the legal news. As I'm trying to see, not a whole lot at this time of year. It just seems like everybody's hibernating, and we'll be getting a flurry of decisions soon. I know I have to be in the appellate division to argue a case this next week. kind of looking forward and dreading it at the same time. It's not anything that anybody should want to do. Appeals are take a long time, are very expensive, and very often a waste of money. But, you know, it depends. I think in this case, obviously, I would have advised my client if I didn't think it was important, and he, in fact, is the person who is replying to this. So the other side filed the appeal. And actually, I've had cases where someone decided, even though the other side filed an appeal, that they were not going to spend the money to defend it. And you can do that. And the appellate division, the problem, of course, from a lawyer standpoint, is you're not going to be able to make the points that you want the appellate division to look at and review. And, of course, the other problem is you can't correct any errors if the other side is not absolutely candid about the record below. I was looking at, actually, you know, we all heard about the ice bowl, but they're not only at the NFL level, but they're also in a little town called Alloway in Wisconsin. Carol St. John got a warm feeling when she thought about performing on national television with the Wisconsin State University lacrosse band during the NFL championship game on December 31st. That was back in 1967, by the way. And then it got cold. And for those of us that remember that game, it was very, very cold. And so what was scheduled to be 12 minutes on national television with 100 million viewers turned into desperate attempts to get warm. And that was before what came to be known forever as a ice bowl. And I don't know why I'm talking about this, since this is supposed to be the news program, but I guess you can see that I'm really anxious to talk about what's been going on in sports, and we will be doing that in a few minutes. But, you know, one of the things that people also ask me, and I guess somebody did ask me that this week, so I guess I should mention, people talk about quadros, and it's QDRO, Qualified Domestic Relations Order. And so if anyone or you know anyone who's going through divorce and one or both parties have a pension or 401k plan or other deferred compensation through their employment, this is very, very important because these assets, even though they're deferred in the future, may not get them for many, many years, are in fact subject to equitable distribution. And unfortunately, what happens is there can be a lot of ambiguity. There are many attorneys that don't really know how to write the language with respect to division of these plans. And, you know, it's certainly the ambiguity in relative to market fluctuation of a deferred contribution plan payout is significant. And it actually was recently addressed, unfortunately. I really do mean unfortunately. It was an unpublished opinion, which means that it can't be used as precedent. Although, you know, judges read the unpublished opinions also, and I'm sure they, unless they disagree with them, they would, in fact, follow that kind of a decision. But as I said, people sometimes don't realize what are considered assets to be divided, not necessarily 50-50, but often 50-50. There's a civil rights landlord-tenant case, although it was not approved for publication. There's some interesting issues in it, and the tenant in that case appealed an agency decision finding no probable cause to credit her allegations that the landlord discriminated against her in violation of the law against discrimination by refusing to accept her rent subsidy and by discriminating against her based on race and pregnancy. She alleged that she had been a tenant since 1996, was approved for temporary rental assistance, TRA, in 2015, and when she gave the landlord the assistance form to fill out, she was told that the landlord no longer took vouchers or TRA. The landlord denied the allegations and asserted that the dispute was related to the tenant's failure to pay rent after she was terminated from the housing assistance program. And the division investigated and found that the tenant had a Section 8 rent subsidy when she began living in the apartment, lost her subsidy in 2014 because her income was too high, and subsequently lost her job and fell behind in the rent payments. So the landlord produced records showing he had completed the assistance forms and that social services paid the tenant's rent in 2015. And then the division also found that tenants in the building were racially diverse and many had children. So the tenant argued the division's investigation was perfunctory and denied her due process. The court, meaning the appellate division, disagreed and found no grounds to interfere with the agency's investigation and determination of no probable cause. So, guess you can't just, if you have no case, you have no case. So that would be significant for a lot of people, and hopefully none of us, none of you, none of the listening audience need Section 8 housing, but it is critical for many families, low-income families. So we'll be back with the sports guys after we give you the news break. And anyway, it's Friday afternoon at 4. It's the law program. And I'm Pat Smith, a local lawyer, and I'm hoping in the next few weeks to have some guests, especially guests on franchise law. So if you're at all interested, we'll try to announce when they're going to be on. So have a good weekend. Be careful out there. It's going to rain, so it'll be a good weekend to sit inside and get all those inside jobs done.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Well, we wish him well. He worked very hard. I found out about it recently, and I was surprised by it.
The president speaking at the White House about former Staff Secretary Rob Porter after allegations of domestic abuse by two former ex-wives. Trump wishing Porter all the best as he leaves.
And we hope he has a wonderful career, and hopefully he will have a great career ahead of him.
Porter denying the abuse allegations. While you are sleeping, the federal government shuts down, then reopens as President Trump signs a $400 billion temporary spending bill passed by the House before dawn, ending the shortest government shutdown since the 70s. A snowstorm hammers the Midwest with the biggest storm of the season, dropping nearly a dozen inches of snow in some spots. By the time the weekend is out, Chicago could see up to 14 inches of snow, nearly half the country under some sort of winter advisory. This is USA Radio News.
So 5 months ago, the folks at MyPillow said, hey, you want to try one out? Let us know what you think. Hey, it's a pillow. But I tried it. What have you got to lose? Tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know you need MyPillow. Well, not MyPillow, but your own MyPillow. See, it stays cool all night, keeps its shape, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't like it? Return it. And a 10-year warranty. What pillow have you got that has a 10-year warranty? You can talk